Welcome to the Shiur on Aksav HaKabbalah, Parashat Chayisara. I wanted to share a couple of passages for Aksav HaKabbalah this evening that, as it happens, speak about death. First, you know, the parasha itself really gives us a lot of hashkafa about the Jewish attitude towards death. It starts off with the death and the burial of Sarah Imeno, and ends up with the death and the burial of Avraham Avinu. So there are a few passages from the Ksav HaKabbalah in this week's parasha that really not only explain the Sedra, but also really, I think, impart some very beautiful hashkafos about the Jewish view about passing from this world and it being a prosdar, being an entryway into the next world. So first, to start with a short idea from Aksav HaKabbalah. So we're told in the very beginning of the Sedra, Sarah passes away, and then Perek Chof Gimel Pasuk Beis Vayavo Avram Lispro Lissara Velivkosa. Avram came to eulogize Sarah and to cry for her. In that order, he came to eulogize Sarah and to cry for her. So the Ksav HaKabbalah in a short piece points out, Habchi Ragil Lavo Kodam HaHesped. That's not the way it usually works. Usually a person who loses a loved one cries. There's the initial reaction of pain, of crying. And then the person collects their thoughts, you know, collects their emotions, and is masked, and then, you know, has the wherewithal to be able to eulogize.
Right.
The truth is the very, very first reaction is just shock and disbelief. But certainly between Bechi and Hesped, you know, Bechi comes after that shock, presumably, and Hesped comes after that. In other words, right, and as Hesped is a little bit more of an intellectual activity, you know, the Bechi, the emotional reaction, is the first thing usually that a person has. And the Hesped, usually the person has to, you know, collect themselves and put themselves together. Sometimes, we know situations, a relative doesn't even feel comfortable being masped by the Levaya, even though they'll be masped by the Shloshim. Because by the Shloshim already, they've been able to collect their thoughts, put themselves together. But at the Levaya, everything is so fresh and so new, and so they're still in a state of shock, you know, that they can cry, but they really can't do much beyond that. So he writes, Habchi Ragil Lavo Kodam HaHesped V'haya Roi Lomar Livkosa V'lispod. And really, says Aksav HaKabbalah, you would think that Vayavo Avram, it should have said Vayavo Avram Livkosa. Avram came to cry for sorrow V'lispod L'Hesped, and then to say the Hesped after that. You know, why is it that the Hesped comes first and only afterwards the Bechi? So he writes the following very beautifully. Omnam lefisha b'chi yore al hadsar b'vechinas afisas hames. Why does the person cry? The crying represents the pain that the survivor feels over the fact that the loved one is no longer here, that the loved one has gone. V'hesped hu siper shvachov lehargish hanishori masha avdu. The role of Hesped is to talk about the wonderful qualities that the deceased had in order to arouse, you know, the emotions on the part of those people who are listening to the Hesped. When it comes to the passing of a tzaddik, although again, obviously the survivors feel the loss perhaps even more acutely in the case of a tzaddik passing away, but to cry because the tzaddik is no longer here, because the tzaddik is somehow missing something, that doesn't apply in the case of the tzaddik. Because when the tzaddik passes away, the tzaddik in many ways is even greater in death than he or she is in life. In other words, the tzaddik's influence can be even greater in death. You know, sometimes when you deal with a flesh and blood person, you forget about how great their tzidkus is. We all know, I mean, people say it half jokingly, but acharei mos kedoshim emor. You know, after a person passes away, that's when you really begin to appreciate, you know, the greatness of the person. That phrase is said sarcastically. People talk about how great the person was after they die. They don't bother, you know, always talking about that when the person is actually alive, but there's truth to it. It's not just a cynical way of looking at the world. Acharei mos, after the person passes away. So then we really appreciate the person's greatness to a much greater extent. You know, the person, we overlook their humanity and what inevitably everybody has faults, and we tend to focus only on the greatness of that person. So those, they can be a bigger baal hashpa after they pass away than when they were alive. You know, I sometimes think about Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal. He's the most prolific author after he passed away. There's more Torah that's written up from the Rav Zatzal after his passing than was ever put out during his lifetime. I think, again, it's hard to say this exactly, but in certain ways, one sees his hashpa, his influence, you know, in an even greater way after he's left the world, you know, than arguably was true during his lifetime. So that says the Aksava Kabbalah. That's why in the case of Sarah, the Tzadekes, it talks about Hesped before Bechi. Lahoros ki eina Bechi aleha, rak mitzad hanish'arim. Bechi in an Hesped. Of course, Avraham Avinu cried for Sarah. But as opposed to a more typical person who, when they passed away, we cry because we feel the loss, and we also cry for the person, because the person no longer has the opportunity to do mitzvahs in this world. When a tzadekus like Sarah passes away, we cry for ourselves because of the loss. But in terms of crying for the loss that the person has experienced, adarabba, you know, the person is doing greater things in death than he or she might have done in life. They're experiencing a greater closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in death than he or she would have experienced in life. So, in other words, the bechi, the crying, is muted in certain ways when a tzaddik or a tzaddikus passes away. So the emphasis, lispod lisara, Livkosa almost as an afterthought. The bechi doesn't have the same role to play in the passing of a tzaddik or a tzaddikus that it does with an ordinary person. And then he concludes with Zegam ken tam os kof ze'era b'milas v'livkosa. If you look in the Sefer Torah, the kof in the word v'livkosa is written smaller than the other osios. Why is that? Says Aksava Kabbalah, because the bechi, the crying, was not as pronounced as would be in a normal case, because there was a recognition that, you know, we need not cry for her to the same extent. You know, we see that she's doing great things and that she's closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in her death. You know, so although there is bechi, it would be cruel not to be bocha at all, not to cry at all, but the bechi, the crying, is muted to a very great extent when Sarah Imenu passes away. So right off the bat, in the beginning of the sentence, it's a short passage from Aksava Kabbalah, but right off the bat he already sets the tone that we understand when a tzaddik or a tzaddikus passes away, it's a different view that we have, because as ma'aminim, as people who believe in Olam Haba, you know, we know that it's not over for that person, and in many ways, if anything, the person is accomplishing even greater things, you know, in the Olam Ha'emes. I wanted to skip at this point to the end of the Sedra, where we talk about, the Pasuk talks about the passing of Avraham Avinu, and here too, we're introduced us to some beautiful hashkafos, just about death and dying, through the lens of the Sedra itself. In Perek Chafei Pasuk Ches, when talking about the passing of Avraham Avinu, it says, Vayigva Vayomos. He expired and passed away. What exactly is the meaning of the word Vayigva? Right? And what's the etymology of that? So he writes, Shem Gova Lahoras Hamisa Nishtal Sheller of Shlomo Pappenheim Mishum Yogeya. As we've seen, the Aksava Kabbalah is very fond of the Sefer that was written shortly before his own Sefer from Shlomo Pappenheim, was also a German Rav called the Yerios Shlomo, which was a Sefer that spoke about diktuk and language. So Shlomo Pappenheim in the Sefer writes that the word gova, to expire and pass away, is related to the word yogeya, which means to be tired, to be worn out. When a person slows down, is worn out and tired, yogeya, right? So that's related to the word gova. Again, if you go back to something we spoke about last week, the Aksava Kabbalah apparently accepted the notion that the Shoroshim in Hebrew are primarily two letters. Right? Some grammarians held that the Shoroshim primarily three letters. He apparently held that the Shoroshim are apparently two letters. So in other words, if you have the Gimel and the Ayin in both Gava and Yogeya, that's enough to connect those two words. So why is Gava related to the word to be worn out, to be tired? So he says, Ki hamisa, he gam ken chulshas hadover vistalko min hatnua. Right? When a person dies, that means that they've ceased to function. In other words, the body has become tired to the point where it's not working anymore. It's not operating anymore. So on the basis of that, he then quotes the Maimer Chazal and proceeds to explain it in a very, very beautiful way. V'amru, Chazal sayin bava basta, daftev zayinom and aleph, shebit tzadikim nemra loshon gevia. Chazal say that the language of gevia, vayigva vayamas, is reserved for tzaddikim. Why is that? So he says as follows: For whom imash l'shem yogeya b'hanachosto harishona, hunach b'bechina hagashmis al bito hatnua. For who inyan misus had tzaddikim, she'ein b'misosam kim bito hatnua hagashmis, ki anefesh tishoyer b'tnu osa. Says the Ksav HaKabbalah as follows. Vayigva carries the connotation, the body ceased to function. However, by saying the body ceased to function, the implication is the neshama is chai v'kayam, is just as strong, just as existent, and again, as we saw before, perhaps even elevated to a higher level, now that the body has ceased to function. If it just would have said, vayamas, the person died. So the implication, what's the person? The person is a mixture of body and soul. So if you say vayamas, it implies everything's gone. You say vayigva, meaning the body stopped, right? The body, you know, got tired. The implication is, okay, part of the person no longer works. The physical part of the person no longer works. But the spiritual part of the person is just as functional, if not even more functional, even now that the person has passed away. So that, says the Ksav HaKabbalah, is pshat in the statement of Chazal, that gevia, vayigva, is the lashon which is used specifically with regard to tzaddikim. But the Gemara doesn't stop there, and he goes on to explain the rest of the Gemara. Ela shehikshu sham, Hallo bibdor hamabul gamke neemar vayigva kol bostor. Right? So the Gemara itself asks, aye, but when the dor hamabul is drowned, you know, the generation of the flood is drowned, it also uses the lashon of gevia. So you're telling me that if vayigva is reserved for tzaddikim, the dor hamabul were not exactly renowned as tzaddikim. That was the whole problem. So how does that work then? Answers the Gemara, Umeshani, Gevio va'asifo ka'amrinon. Shebet tzadikim nemro gevio va'asifo. Right? So the Gemara there answers, when with regard to a tzadik, it says, Vayigva, Vayayosef elamov. He passed away, and he was gathered into his people. You need both lashonos for a tzadik. However, for the Dor HaMabul, who are not tzaddikim, it says, Vayigva, but there's no lashon of Vayayosef. There's no lashon of asifo. Of being gathered into the people. So he goes on to explain, so what's the significance of that? Is that just arbitrary and random? So he says, no. Sha'gviya shavel agov shespato betnu aso. Gviya, as we said before, refers to the body passing away, the body ceasing, the body slowing down and not working anymore. Veho asifa shavel anefesh nesra lemnuchas hakovod. In contrast, asifa, being gathered, what's gathered after the person dies? The neshama is gathered into the place of glory with the other neshamas. So, vayigva, vayayosef, right, refers to the way a tzaddik passes from the world. The body stops, the neshama is gathered into Hashem. Lo kein harishoyim, but with rishoyim, shemagshimim nafshom asichlis, biskashelim adonos ksilus ve'iveles. The Rasha during his lifetime has degraded his the spiritual part of himself, his neshama, and he's made it physical by giving in to all of his physical desires. He's essentially taken the soul and just downgraded it to make it a part of the body. So therefore, v'akesher holeich v'rav betelem avodas achushim, l'chein nemar b'em gviyos sam, sh'bemisosom tisbatol tnuas hakol anefeshim abosar. If the Rasha has brought his neshama down to the level of his body, so when his body dies, vayigva, that's it. The neshama is gone as well. Or at least the neshama has experienced, you know, in an extreme case, right? Again, we know that, the Ramban talks about how, you know, one of the forms of kares is that the person's neshama is cut off from Olam Haba altogether. The Rambam writes like that in Hilchos Teshuva. It may not be true of all Rishoyim, but certainly an extreme Rasha who has linked his neshama to his body so thoroughly, when the body stops working, the neshama also stops working. So that's the Ksava Kabbalah explains that it's not just arbitrary. Oh, Tzadikim, it says Gevia and Asifa, and Rishonim just says Gevia. Gevia and Asifa speaks to the two different parts of the human being. The guf is Vayigva, the neshama is Vayayasef. If it doesn't say Vayayasef, so then it means that the neshama and the body are so linked that Gevia, when the body slows down and passes away, the neshama by definition is going to pass away as well. In that same pasuk, it describes how when Avraham Avinu passes away, he was zaken usva yomim. He was an old man satiated with days. What exactly is the meaning of sva yomim, satiated with days? So Uncle is tirgem usva yomim. Vayishtaksava Kabbalah. Unkelus translates it literally, satiated with days. The Yonasan ben Uziel tirgem v'sova kol tuva. However, the Yonasan ben Uziel's translation, as is often the case, deviates a little bit from the pshat, and writes that svayomim, he was satiated of days, means that Avraham Avinu, at the end of his life, was satisfied with many good things. In other words, everything that he could ask for, you know, al gute zachen, so Avraham Avinu had at the end of his life. Right, Saksava Kabbalah. Uve MS in Starach Lahosif Aloshna Mikra. Although the Yonasan ben Uziel tries to tease out a little bit more of a deeper meaning from the Pasuk, the truth is, the Pasuk, what it says is what it means. And he goes on to explain. Kimilas Sova, Beloshna Kodesh, Hara also is Stapkus. When we talk about Sova being satisfied, it means that you have everything that you could possibly want. A person who's satisfied is happy with what he has. The neshama is joyous with what he has, and he doesn't yearn for anything else. You know, the old joke, what do you buy a man who has everything? I guess you buy him a tie, right? But, a person has everything. A person feels that he has everything. You know, what more do I need? That's what the Pasuk says when it gives Klal Yisrael a bracha. You should eat your bread to be satiated. What does that mean? That means that you're going to eat a lot of bread. It means that you'll eat in such a way, even if you don't eat a lot, but you eat in such a way so that you're very satisfied with what you have. Vayn mashe kosavti b'parshas Ekev b'yochalto v'savoto v'razal omru v'yochalto savecho v'lo achil agasa. Chazal on the famous pasuk, "V'yochalto v'savoto v'yachdes Hashem Elokecha," you should eat, you should be satiated, and bless Hashem. They say it's not nachila gasa. It doesn't mean that you stuff yourself. "V'yochalto v'savoto," it means you can have a half a portion, and that half a portion, as Chazal says, "Misbarach b'meyov." You know, inside of you, inside of the stomach, you feel satiated, you feel happy. It doesn't have to be a lot. It's just what fills you up. The ein la nefesh hatzadik tainug yoster gadol mimashi yeshlo be'es misasa. The neshama of a tzaddik has the greatest pleasure on the day on which the tzaddik passes away. The tzaddik, in a physical sense, may not have the greatest pleasure on that day, but the neshama of a tzaddik has the greatest pleasure on the day on which the tzaddik passes away, kakosov, as we say every Friday night, vatischak liyom achron. The eshes chayo laughs and smiles regarding the last day of her life. Why? Seems like a very bizarre statement. So if a person is really ruchni, is really spiritual, really has an appreciation of what the neshama is all about. So the person has tremendous pleasure. When the neshama has tremendous pleasure when it leaves this world, because the neshama is able to experience HaKadosh Baruch Hu in an unadulterated fashion. Biyoso az karov lava mechitzos kedoshim el yoner, as the neshama feels that it's about to enter into the presence of the kedoshim of the world, the upper worlds, lis'aneg tanugim ruchnim, to be able to experience these spiritual pleasures. They report, even in non-Jewish sources, they report that very often people who are at the last moments and still able to communicate talk about seeing a great light, a huge light, and great things, you know, in those last moments right before they leave the world. Again, that's something that's been documented from many different people, from many different cultures, not even necessarily from Jews, right? In other words, that this notion that as the neshama prepares to leave the world, alachas kama v'kama, the neshama of a tzaddik, as it prepares to leave the world, the neshama has a glimpse of what it's about to enter, what it's about to experience. That's why we refer to, especially Kabbalistically, the day on which the yard site, the day on which a great person leaves this world, is a Yom Hilula, is literally a wedding day, a chaslana day for the neshama. The neshama is now able to be wedded, kavayochol, to the Ribbono Shel Olam, to this upper existence. It's a happy day from the neshama's perspective. The Amru Kan Bebreishis Rabbah. The Medrash and Bereishis Rabbah says here on this pasuk, "B'shasti lukon shod tzadikim," as the tzaddik is about to leave this world, Hakadosh Baruch Hu mara lehem matan scharon. Hakadosh Baruch Hu shows them all the reward they're going to get in this next world. Right? Again, whenever that happens exactly, but as the tzaddik's neshama is about to depart this world, the neshama already has a glimpse of what's going to be in the next world. Right, so there's a famous story of the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon on his deathbed, the story goes, started crying, and the Talmidim turned to him and says, Rebbe, and they said, Rebbe, why are you crying? And he said, he pulled out his tzitzis, he said, look, for a couple of cents, you can buy these tzitzis and be mekayim a mitzvah in this world. The world I'm going to is the world in which I'm not going to be able to do that. So it's not a contradiction, because they're both true. In other words, the tzaddik wants to hold on to life in this world as much, as long as he can. But we all know we're not eternal. You know, we all know the time is going to come. And when the time does come, you know, I guess, to go back to that story with the Gruff, you know, maybe 5 minutes after that story, the next emotion that he had was the sense of the immense bliss and happiness as he was preparing to be in the Olam HaEmes. So they're both true. In other words, we're not looking to cut life short prematurely, but at the same time, when the time has come, you know, from a tzaddik's perspective, the neshama understands that there's something great waiting for that tzaddik, you know, in the next world. The tainug zeh haruchni hu be'emes sviya nafshis. It's this pleasure which is spiritually satisfying. It's lahavdil, it's the equivalent of having a really good meal, right? I mean, it's much more than that. But in other words, as the neshama contemplates what's going to be in the next world, the neshama is satisfied by thinking about what's going to be, by recognizing what's going to be. So that he says, ultimately, zaken usva yomim, right? When it says that Avraham Avinu was old at the end of his life, but he was satiated with his days. What was the satiation? He realized in those moments before he was about to pass into the next world what was awaiting him. It filled him with a sense of joy, it filled him with a sense of satisfaction, and that's the Sva Yomim, which a tzaddik experiences as the tzaddik is on the way out of this world. The common denominator to all of these thoughts that the Aksava Kabbalah has expressed is that our belief in Olam Haba, our belief in the reward of Olam Haba, gives a tzaddik and those who are close to a tzaddik a certain sense of comfort, you know, when the tzaddik leaves the world. It's obviously a sad time when somebody passes away. It's a depressing time when somebody passes away. But both we who are left behind, as well as the person himself, who may be aware of his or her imminent passing, should be aware that there's something very, very special waiting for them on the other side, and that gives a certain sense of nechama and even tainug, even pleasure, you know, to the person who's anticipating, you know, the imminent arrival of this greatness in the next world. There's a next piece. I'm just not sure that we can get it in the 3 minutes that we have. I think what we'll do, we'll stop here. We'll say a Kaddish and Beis Hashem. There's one more piece I want to say also on this topic. Vayayasef el Amov, the end of that pasuk with regard to the passing of Avraham Avinu, which Beis Hashem, following Ma'ariv, will have the opportunity to speak about a little bit. Rabbi Chanina ben Akasha, welcome to the second half of the Shir Aksav HaKabal Parshas Chayisara. So the first half of the Shir we focused on various interpretations of the Aksav HaKabalah that give us a perspective, a hashkafa on death and passing from this world. Again, the common theme is that because of our belief in Olam Haba, a tzaddik in particular, so I'd say looks forward, but you know, it's not an entirely sad occasion when the tzaddik passes from this world. The bechi we saw, the crying is muted. That's what we saw at the beginning of the sedra with regard to Sarah Imenu. And you know, although the body physically stops, the neshama continues going on, and there's a certain tzviya, there's a certain satisfaction which the tzaddik experiences as the tzaddik actually gets a glimpse of what the reward in Olam Haba is all about, as the tzaddik is on the threshold of passing into the next world. The last phrase in the pasuk in Perek Chafhei, pasuk Ches, describing how Avraham Avinu passes away, says Vayeyosef el Amov. Literally, that Avraham Avinu was gathered unto his people. That's the way it's usually translated into the English. So, what does it mean to be gathered unto one's people? So, the Ksav HaKabbalah writes Amlitza Zoh Ne'emeres Be'inyan Misa, concerning this phrase, this expression that's used in describing death. Yomar Haradak Rabbi Avram Ben Ezra Ki Amei Saholech B'derech Shalchu Avosov Kiru Nesaf Aleihem. Both the Radak and the Ben Ezra say that what the phrase means is as follows: the Amov, his people, means his ancestors. And when a person has lived a virtuous life in the manner of his or her ancestors, so when the person passes away, the neshama joins the neshamos of his or her ancestors in the next world. So Vayosef el Amov, writes the Radak and the Ibn Ezra, means he was gathered unto his forefathers, his ancestors. The Rabbi Avadia Sfarno, the Sfarno, similarly, but not exactly the same, writes, the Sfarno says, it's not just that the person who passes away has his neshama joined the neshamos of his ancestors, the neshama joins the neshamos of all of the great tzaddikim. You know, you don't have to be biologically related to them necessarily, but if you lived a virtuous life, your neshama is put together with the neshamos of all of the tzaddikim, and those tzaddikim are called Amov, his nation, right? They need not necessarily be your family, but they're your nation. In other words, they have they led lives similar to yours. Right, in this particular case, right, it's hard to talk about Avraham Avinu's ancestors unless, again, you want to go back to Adam Arishon, you know, to people like Shem, you know, in that sense, you know, Terach HaSatshuva, Chazal say, right? So in other words, you know, even if, you know, there was a lot in the family tree that maybe wasn't so great, but there was a lot that was really great, you know, so he connected with those. But in any case, the Sfarno extends the definition of Amov, you know, that you're gathered not just to your own ancestors, but to tzaddikim in general. Nonetheless, whether according to the Ibn Ezra or according to the Sfarno, says Aksava Kabbalah, the word Amav, his nation, still requires a little bit more explanation. So he writes as follows: Venerally, ki milas am hanachosto al his achtus hapratim shemishtatfim umistarfim zeim ze aydei nimus odas o hanhaga o sha'ar inyon. What does the word am mean? Right? Nation, okay. Why does am mean nation? Am Yisrael Chai. Why does am mean nation? So he says, am carries the idea of a collective. Anything where you have multiple little parts, multiple little elements or units that are gathered together into one big unit, because they all share a common practice, or a common law, or a common religion, or anything that binds people together, makes them into an am. Right? The truth is, you think about a nation in the modern sense of the term, not everyone in a nation is biologically related to one another. Right? So what makes the American people, by way of example, a nation? I mean, not to get overly political here or anything like that, but what makes the American people a nation? Not everyone who's part of America is biologically related. So the answer, we would seem, is that we share a common commitment. You know, we share a common way of doing things. We share common values. We share a common allegiance. You know, there's something in common that brings the various people in America together and can say, you know, this is a nation. This is, you know, one group of people. V'lo bilvad al isachtus rabbei hamispar, ki im gam b'mispar shlosha hanoshim bilvad. And truth be told, if you look in Tanakh, says Aksava Kabbalah, the word am need not only be applied to a nation in the sense of, you know, hundreds of thousands of people. Three people who are bound together in some way can be called an am. How do we see that? So he quotes the Pasuk in Eov, Perakit Beis, Pasuk Beis, Ki Atem Am, right? Eov says to his friends, you are a nation, Targumo Atun Chavraya, right? The translation of that is, you are my Chavra, my Chaverim, right? That was Eov speaking to the three friends who came to visit him. You're an Am. How are you an Am? You're a nation? You're three people. Three people can be called a nation. Because again, the word nation, which we use in English, is not really an accurate translation of Am. Am means a collective. You three are a collective. You're a group of people who are bound together by some common purpose. In fact, we even see in Chazal that the word Am can apply to a single person. Where do we see that? Am ha'aretz. It's not a nice term, and am ha'aretz, an ignoramus, but it's a single person. Why is a single person referred to with a term that means a nation, an am ha'aretz? So am ha'aretz, he says, means hishtatfusto v'hishabrusto b'masov b'nyoni arzios lo shemaymios. Someone who's an am ha'aretz, who's an ignoramus, is bound to the earth. He's an am, he's connected to ha'aretz. He's bound to things that are this worldly, as opposed to someone who is a little bit more learned, a little bit more frum. In other words, the am ha'aretz of the Gemara is somebody who's also mezalzel in mitzvahs. He doesn't treat mitzvahs with the proper respect. If he would have been a Talmud Chacham, he would have been an am ha'shamayim. He would have been someone who's connected to something heavenly. Am ha'aretz means he's connected to the earth. The nikra Moshe levado b'shem am. We also find that Moshe Rabbeinu was called am as a single person. Vayizkoyime olam Moshe amo. Pasuk in Yeshaya speaks about Moshe the am of Hashem. What do you mean Moshe the am of Hashem? Right? What does that mean? The nikra b'shem am lihis achduso. Right? Moshe Rabbeinu says the Ksava Kabbalah is called Am Hashem, even though he's a single person, because he is connected to Hashem. You can be one person and still be called an Am. An Am is all about the idea of connectedness. V'chein la'am nochri lo yimshol l'machra. We're going to read the beginning of Parshas Mishpatim. If a person sold his daughter as an Amma Ivriya, right, and the master doesn't want to marry her, la'am nochri lo yimshol l'machra. He shouldn't sell her to someone else. But it doesn't say someone else. It says to a foreign nation. What do you mean to a foreign nation? To a foreign person. No, am can mean a single person. Right? So, what does that mean? Because, again, it's someone connected to foreignness. So what does all that have to do with us? Yacharei she'ikar horas milas am, who is chabrus v'shtapfus. Since we see that the word am doesn't really translate as nation, it really translates as the word connected. All of the neshamos that are in the next world, all of the neshamos of tzaddikim, are connected to one another in some way, and they're connected to the neshama of this tzaddik who has just passed away, and his neshama is now joining all of those neshamos. So that's what our pasuk means by Yeosef el Amov. The neshama of Avram Avinu was gathered to those neshamas that it had a chibur, that it had a connection with. The Ksav HaKabbalah doesn't mention it, but I think it follows, the following follows beautifully from his analysis. We know that the word am is also the same osios as the word im. Im means with. I mean, what does with mean? With means that, you know, there's a connection, there's a hishtapfus, there's a chibur that's taking place between two or more different things. So the am is really just the expression of the im. When different things are im, when they're with one another, they become an am. You know, they become a collective in some way, a connect, two parts or more parts that are connected to one another. So Avraham Avinu passes away. His neshama joins all of the other connected neshamos, Yosef el Amav. So that's the word Amav over here. How do you explain the significance of the word Yosef? He was gathered in. So, yeah. Yeah? Right. Well, the neshama itself was kind of right, but was the neshama separate when it was in the body? In other words, the parts of the neshama presumably were all connected to one another there as well, right? So in other words, I don't know if they're being more nishaber to one another, you know, after the person passes away. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So that's the word El Amav. What's the word Vayeosef? He was gathered. So here too, there's a beautiful explanation which the Ksav HaKabbalah gives, which is not just linguistic, but hashkafic. Nira li kimilas osaf tishamish gamkin al knisas davar shemichutz ligvulo el makom hamiyuchad elov. Whenever the word osaf, gathered in, is used, it carries the connotation of taking something which is out of place and bringing it back into place. Right? In other words, you took a sefer off the shelf, and now when you're done using it, hopefully, you put it back in the place on the shelf where it belongs. That's the connotation of asaf, to gather something in, to return something to its rightful place. So for instance, v'asafto el toch beisecha. The pasuk in Kiseitse talks about a person finds a lost animal, a lost object, gather it into your house, meaning it was out there in the street where it was hefker, where anyone could take it, gather it into a place where it really belongs. It belongs in a place that's watched over and safe till it can be returned to its owner. V'lo ye'osef habaisa v'yor aleihem aborod. Right, at the end of Parshas Bo, at the end of Parshas Bo Erev, rather, it talks about how the Egyptians had their animals out in the fields. If they didn't bring the animals into the house, so then the animals would be killed by the barod, by the hail that was coming down. There too, v'asafto, there's this v'lo ye'osef habaisa. right? In other words, you know, the animals were gathered into the house. V'domel is an nefesh ha'adam. It's an apt term to use for a person's soul. Kolzman hayosa mechuberes ma'chomer agashmi ba'aris v'dom laholich derech v'lenote lalun v'dirosa diros tarai ba'olam hazeh zmani. The neshama, says the Aksav HaKabbalah, doesn't really belong here on earth. The neshama is just traveling when it's here on earth. And the neshama really belongs. The home of the neshama is up there in the heavens. When the neshama is down here on earth, when the person is alive, it's like, you know, the animal that's out in the street and has to be brought into the house so it will be safe. Ikar Beisa HaMiyuad La, the main home of the neshama, Hu HaOlam HaElyon Shedirasa Diras Keva V'Nitzchi. The real home of the neshama is up in Shamayim. So therefore, it makes sense to use the lashon of Asifa, Vayeosef El Amav. The neshama was gathered to be part of the rest of the souls of the tzaddikim. When a person dies, it's not just that the neshama goes to heaven, the neshama comes home to heaven. The neshama goes back to its rightful place when it goes to Shamayim. So perhaps this is the biggest nechama. Again, we're talking about how all of these insights from Aksav HaKabbalah into death are also a tremendous nechama, a tremendous consolation for, you know, someone who's experienced a loss. Realize the neshama, it's not just that the neshama is going to a better place. The neshama is going back to its own place. The neshama is going back to its original place, you know, to the place where it really belongs. You know, the whole time that the neshama was here down on earth, the neshama was in a sense taken away from its natural habitat, from its natural environment. Vayeosef El Amav means the neshama is going back home when the person passes away. Yeah. Right. It's not to take away, it's not to say that the sadness is inappropriate. Certainly, when a person passes away, it's appropriate and right to be sad. But at the same time, but at the same time, we should realize that there is much that's positive. Again, it doesn't eliminate the sadness, but there's much that's positive when the neshama of the tzaddik or the neshama of anybody, you know, is going on to the next world. Yeah.
So how do you understand a person that lived a very, very mission-driven life? Even Chas HaShom, maybe with Russia, when the neshama wants to be here, he's so stuck in this world that protects us. And more says that more connected to the spiritual world a person was in this world. So leaving the body is like nothing. Like,
right. That's true. In other words, that's exactly what Aksav HaKabbalah is saying. For somebody like an Avraham Avinu, Vayeosef El Amav, it was like gathering the neshama home. You know, for somebody who's a Rasha, you see, again, he mentioned before, there's a Lashon Gevir by Rishon, there's not a Lashon of Asifa by Rishon. The neshama is left down here on earth in the most extreme of cases, you know, that the neshama doesn't even make it, you know, to the next world. But, you know, that idea of Vayeosef El Amav being gathered back home is uniquely for tzaddik. So that's the Gemara says above a Basra. So Vayigva Vayeosef implies that the person is a tzaddik, and that's what he explained before, that you know, Vayigva is on the body, Vayeosef is on the neshama. Right? The Sefer Ikarim writes that when the Gemara talks about this thing called a Kaf HaKela, you know, that the neshama is placed into a slingshot and goes, you know, jumping back and forth from place to place. What that really means is that because the neshama of a Rasha so does not want to leave this world, the neshama, even as it goes up to Shamayim, keeps trying to sneak back into this world and ends up, you know, kind of boomeranging back and forth between this world and the next, again, whatever that means exactly. But the image of the Kaf HaKela, you know, the idea of jumping back and forth, is Davka, because of the Shama of the Rasha, can't find peace in this world, can't find peace in the next world. You know, it just jumps back and forth. I don't know. I don't know. But you know, the Chazal say that Mishpat Rishon began in Yud Beis Chodesh. So you know, there's something about the year. You know, after a person passes, that's, you know, strict judgment for sure. You know, something happens after a year that is able to alleviate some of the judgment. Just want to end on the, you know, with just a little bit of current events. I mean, obviously everyone is very, very shaken after the events of last Shabbos in Pittsburgh, and the whole Jewish community is very, very shaken. Hopefully some of these insights, you know, that we have about the significance of passing from this world. You know, the poskim say that if a person is killed because they're Jewish, regardless of whatever they did during their lifetimes, they have the status of a kadosh, they have a status of a martyr, this tremendous kedusha, they go straight up to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So, you know, at least some of these insights about the chashivus of Olam Haba and how the neshama really gains much tainug from being in Olam Haba. Again, it doesn't mitigate the heinous evil of the person who perpetrated the murders. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't take away the pain and the loss and the feelings of uncertainty and everything else that everybody is feeling. But as a little bit of a nechama, a little bit of a consolation, you know, we should be reminded that, you know, in the end of the day, you know, Yiddishkeit sees death as really just a bridge to another world, the greater world, the real world that the neshama really belongs to. And if that gives us a little bit of nechama during these difficult days, it's certainly something worthwhile to reflect upon. Bez Hashem, next week, again, will be on Wednesday night, but Wednesday afternoon, just realize, of course, we're changing the clocks. So, you know, Mincha is going to be, I think, 4:30 next week. So the shiur itself is going to be a little bit on the earlier side, just to bear that in mind. Okay, Rabbi Chanan ben Akasha.